Well, this morning, we're back in over and teaching on the areas about a full salvation. The reason for this is God spoke to me about this, teaching on this subject, because the church world has moved away from salvation, what it really is. We're dealing in the vision of our redemption. Salvation is so much more than forgiveness of sin. God has provided so much in salvation, and we just take a little bit, and everybody else is trying to get things from God and don't know that they already belong to them. Hallelujah. When you find out what already belongs to you, hallelujah. You know, it's sort of like this. It's sort of, God in a sense is like a banker. He has all this stuff that's in your account that he put there for through Jesus Christ. When you believed on Jesus, every blessing, and we're going to be talking about the blessings today, the blessings were all put into your account. They're all there on your account. Now, it's what you're going to draw. I remember years ago, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, God, you know, put $1 million in our account. We've been writing $10 checks. That's what we've been doing. And he's using that as an example. There's all this blessing in there, and we're writing out these little bitty things, you know, because, you know, we've been taught, you know, you don't want to go too far. You don't want to seem like, you know, you're, you know, to God like you're greedy, so don't ask for much, you know, that you're somehow being humble. Instead, you're being stupid. What you got in your account, God wouldn't have put it there. He didn't want you to ask for it. Amen. It's not being humble, not drawing off your account. There's no humility in that. Now, I had to learn that this fact, and you need to learn this. You can only draw off your account to your amount of faith. No matter how much God put in that account, you can only draw what you can believe for. That's all you can get out of it. Ain't that a shame? No, it's wonderful. See, God made a system. But see, faith comes by hearing the Word. And this is why you learn to believe the Word. Whatever you need, God has put in the account. There is not anything that you're going to need in this life that is not already in your account. You're not asking God for anything special. Now, you might think it seems special, but it ain't special to Him. He knows everything. He knew 10 billion years before you were born everything you were going to need. See, but we don't treat Him like God. We treat Him like a man. We think He thinks like we do. We think Heaven don't run like we run down here. See, we're supposed to, you know, Eileen was reading this morning when the words are said, my ways are not your ways. If you read that whole chapter from the beginning, you find this out. God was rebuking them because they were living in sin. They weren't thinking like God. It wasn't they couldn't think like God. No, they were thinking like the world. That's most of the church today. Don't think like God. It thinks like the world. He said, my ways aren't your ways. There's no reason that our ways ain't like God's ways. He gave us the book of His ways, telling us how He thinks and what He does. We can put that mind on. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. It didn't say it was going to be given to me. You know, I've heard Christians say this. Well, you know, I need the mind of Christ. I'm sorry, it's already been given to you. Amen. What'd you do, throw it away? Would you lose it somewhere? Did it, you know, dropped out of your pocket? You know, you have the mind of Christ. See, you're going around saying the right thing. I'm trying to get the mind of Christ. I have it. I have the mind of Christ. See, you got to get talking right. You know, people don't talk right. You know, we don't use our salvation. We have a wonderful redemption, and we talk like we don't have a wonderful redemption. We talk like we're trying to get redeemed. We're trying to get the stuff of redemption. I'm not trying to get the stuff. It's mine. It's yours. We're not trying to get it. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. So it's getting over in the areas of faith. It's starting to walk in the light of it. Now we're reading it in Galatians. It's one of the scriptures in Galatians, the third chapter. And verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. How did you get the promise of the Spirit? Through faith. Through faith in Christ Jesus, Abraham's blessing has come upon us. You read the third chapter we had read before. The sons of Abraham are the ones who are of faith in Christ Jesus. It's not natural descendants. The Jews are not sons of Abraham who are naturally. The real Jew in the Bible tells us in Hebrews says that the person who's born again is the real Jew. Abraham's descendants are the people of faith. You're a person of faith in Christ Jesus. You're a son of Abraham. You qualify for the blessing. No one else does. Any Jew who's just Jew by born as a Jew is not under the blessing. They're under the curse, just like everybody else who's not saved are under the curse. I mean, look at the Jewish nation. Haven't they been under a curse? Look what's happened to Jews all the time. Have they been under the blessing? Read the book of Revelation, what goes on and happens to them during the tribulation. It ain't pretty. It ain't till they decide Jesus is Lord, ain't nothing changing. You need to understand this. The book of Revelation is about God pouring His wrath out on people. We've read in this fact. The wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. It says it abides on him. It lives on him. This is why we want to get people born again. We want to get wrath of God off of people. We want to get the curse off of people's life. No, we preach the curse in the church today. Well, God wants you sick for the reason. He wants you sick. You're cursed for a reason. Because it's the curse that teaches you. Well, if the curse teaches you in heaven, the curse is going to be there because you're going to be taught when you get to heaven. So you're going to need the curse to teach you. Jeez, I mean, the average Christian must think heaven's full of dummies because they think heaven's really good and a nice place and ain't nothing evil to teach you. So everybody will be a dummy, will never learn nothing. Because you need evil to teach you. You know, the devil, I guess, is the best teacher to the church, I guess, the most. You know, it is funny. I mean, people, you know, say, you know, well, you learn from your mistakes. Do you really believe that? Our people in our nation, they have learned nothing from their mistakes. Should I tell you what? Without God, the wisdom of God, you'll never learn from your mistakes. You'll just repeat them. You will have no wisdom. Without God, there's no wisdom. God is the wise one. It's the only way that you would learn from a mistake is if you're born again and you have the wisdom of God and you'd see your mistake. We look over people and say, well, you know, if you study history, you won't have to repeat it. Well, I'm going to tell you what, man does nothing but repeat history. Dear God. Well, we have all these sayings, these wise sayings, all wonderful sayings. They don't mean squat. Nobody, it never happens, never comes to pass. But we just pass them down from century to century like it really means something. You know, we have educators sitting around. Well, we study history so we can learn what to do. Well, that ain't worked. Did the United States become a better nation as it got more history? Well, I thought history was supposed to take you someplace. The only history, God's history, will take you somewhere. But man's history will lead you to destruction. The history of man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're following God. Hallelujah. Well, we found out the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentile. Are you a Gentile? I am. I'm a Gentile. I was a Gentile born again. Now I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And so are you. So we want to look at this. Now we talked about, we've been talking about redemption and what redemption meant is a purchase back. One of the things that I like about it, and I mean, this is out of the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. They say one of the things of redemption, it is free from the consequences of sin. You know, that's enormously important that you need to understand this about what redemption is. The average Christian has not come to a full knowledge that there's not consequences to the sin, their past life. Most people repeat their past life in their Christian life. They repeat the same mistakes. They yield to the same spirits that operated. They yield back. They walk in the same path. They follow in the put. See, today it's a big thing, our heritage. Oh, you know, I'm this nationality and I'm that nationality. Well, I'll tell you what that leads to stupidity and sin. The church is today, the church is in, the devil lives in the church. He preaches from the pulpits. He's trying to preach all this ethnic stuff. Well, my natural ethnic, I see I'm an Irish background. We were drunks. Let's go. I'll tell you what a heritage. What a heritage! I got born again. I'm a child of God. That's my heritage. That's my lineage. Jesus Christ is my brother. Amen. I'm born of God. We don't have to go back far, do we? I mean, I'm right in close there. See, I'm right up front. See, I'm a child of God. I'm in the first offspring group. The children of God. There's no cousins of God. Thank God. There's no cousins. Hallelujah. It's all children. Right there, offspring immediately. Glory to God, we're His kids. See, in living, that's what we are. We're children of God. In the church world, there should be none of this ethnic junk going on of any group. But people love it, and they follow the world, and it just causes division among everything. It does nothing but promote division. Everybody wants to be among their own group of people. Everybody wants to be, you know, because I feel comfortable in my group. They don't even know who their group is. They don't even know. You know, I can go, and I've been in other countries, and I've been in worship with people of different nationalities. I'm at home with Christians wherever I go. It don't matter to me about nationality and whomever. But people live under it, and they don't realize it. It's bondage. It is nothing but demonic bondage. People living under, trying to get under, not identified. Why? They're not identified with Christ. They're identified with their ethnic group. You know, we're this and we're that, and you know, this is all these things, our ethnic and whatever it is. We wanna maintain our, you know, our different customs and all that kind of, you know, every group got sick customs that just do nothing but promote a bunch of junk, bunk and hogwash and do nothing but problems. A lot of it's demonic. You know, I threw the Irish under the bus a long time ago. I just figured I didn't, you know. They used to say, you know, the way God made beer so the Irish couldn't take over the world. That's what he did. What are you laughing about? What about yours? See, she's sitting there looking at you guys laughing. What, do you drink or something? And she's, what's she looking at you for? Well, see, but none of it matters, you know. It doesn't matter what I came from. It's where I am right now. It's what I have become right now. In heaven, there's not going to be none of this nonsense and craziness going on. We ain't going to take our ethnic trash and go to heaven trying to. Now, Jesus, we have this practice. Now, you're going to have to do it with us up here and that stuff. And it ain't going to be there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the trash gets stripped off. I'll tell you what. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And we'll all have things to unload. And we'll be glad we get to unload it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is why it's a hard time with Christianity. Because we view God in light of our culture. He's not any of our cultures. That's why he told Israel. See, Israel, God gave them a culture, but they chose another. He said, see, my ways ain't your ways. See, they chose another culture. They chose their own ways here in the earth. You know, God wanted to be their king, but they wanted a king like everybody else has. Give me a king like everybody else. See, I've always looked over the ages of things and looked at the Bible. See, God never wanted him to have a king. You know, God gave you, like people talk about, see, God put David in as king. You know, that God did. Yeah, but that wasn't God's best. God never wanted a king. And when Israel decided that they didn't want a king, that they wanted to have a king like the rest of the world, they were never in the perfect will of God again. They never were. It was never what God ever planned. God never did plan none of that. And see, we have to, we look at the Bible and we think all this stuff that happened in the Bible was God's plan. No, what happened in the Bible was because of men not following the plan of God. The book of Revelation is what takes place because everybody don't want saved. God wants everybody saved, but they don't want it. And this, we're going to, book of Revelation is about what happens to people who didn't want it. It's not the plan of God. He's willing at all. None should perish, all should come to repentance. The book of Revelation couldn't be the will of God. It's an impossibility. He just showed us what's going to happen, what he has to do, because people will not repent. Amen. And the church, like, that's what God really wanted to do. That's not what God wanted to do. He wants all to be saved. You know, the church world has a brain about the size of a marble running around, rolling back and forth. They just hear rattling all the time, and they think it's God talking. I don't know. If they'd sit down and just think a little bit, God's plan is for goodness, mercy, kindness. That's what his plan is. It's about us coming out of all of our nonsense and joining His good sense.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Joining up in His wisdom, His understanding. Hallelujah. Letting Him fulfill His pleasure and will in us. Now, we talked about last week in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3 said this, because of the blessing. Look what it says. The blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles. Now, we had over here, we're redeemed from the curse. We talked about the fact that God had the curse that we were redeemed from. We were taken from something, but we were put into something else, and it was God's kingdom. And in the third verse of Ephesians, the first chapter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. See, I'm going over this again because I want you to get this in you. You have been, not going to. Past tense. Have been blessed. Have been. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. In fact, it says in heavenly places. In translation, it should say in the heavenlies. Everything that heaven got, you have been blessed with. Just now think about this. The promise of Abraham is the blessing of Abraham would come on you, the promise of the Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost, moved into you. What does He do? To reveal all that heaven has for you. All the blessing, all that God provides, all the wisdom of heaven, all the knowledge of it, everything heaven has, the Holy Ghost. Why would God put God the Holy Ghost in you if He only gave you 25% of whatever? Why would God have to live into you to bring that around? God lives in you for the purpose to reveal to you all that God has and all that God is. Jesus said, He's going to take of what's mine and give it to you. Well, what does Jesus have? Does He have 10% of the Father or 10% of what God? He's only a little bit God, not so much. So the Holy Ghost is a pint lower than Him, and, you know, He's got less yet, and whatever. He put God in, God is in you. God. Jesus said we have His mind. See, I remember when I first got some revelation on that, I thought, you know, Eric, I thought, I have the mind of Christ, and I thought, well, does Jesus ever think flaky? Does He have problems? Does Jesus worry? I thought, no, He does none of that. He don't ever think like that. And I have that mind. Amen. I'm not going to try to get it. I have it. Amen. Now I have a choice. I can yield to that mind or the one that I got. Most people will always yield to their mind. That's where they're comfortable. That's where their comfort is in their mind. I'm not comfortable. See, I was stupid when I came into the kingdom. I didn't think I was smart. Amen. A lot of Christians have a lot of problems. They think they know something. They think they're smart. They got trouble. I gave up Ed Smart. When I got saved, I realized immediately how stupid I had been. And I realized I needed another mind. It wasn't by choice. Mine was burnt out. Mine was dumb, thinking dumb. Talking dumb, acting dumb. I got really good at it. Hallelujah. So I realized that one wasn't going to work to change. And so I decided I needed another way to think. I needed this mind of Christ. I had great need of it. See, if I'm going to succeed in the kingdom of God, I thought if I'm going to come to this kingdom and the blessing, I'm going to have to change the way I think because my thinking ain't in line with blessing. I knew that, hey, I had 30 years of my thinking and the blessing that my thinking brought. I didn't want another 30 years of that, but it seems most Christians do. They'll just turn around and live under the same, basically, that they had when they were sinners. People think somehow they knew something, somehow they were smart. See, I realized that the religion that I was brought under, it was pretty messed up because I could see that the people that were I was with under that, they were under the same mess I was in. They really weren't getting ahead either. So I realized I had to get rid of the best thing to do, throw it all out, and let's start off new and fresh. Don't try to bring none of that over here. As you learn, you'll then learn to see if anything was good in it. Most people, this is what most Christians have the problem is. They have been brought up in religion, they come to the truth, and so what they do, they mix truth with their past religion. And what they have is dirty water. It's contaminated. Because they won't throw out certain things they liked. Things they thought were true. I just decided I didn't know anything. I wasn't smart. You know, when I went to Bible school, I had done tons of study. I mean, I spent enormous amount of time in the Word and study before I went to Bible school. So to me to go to Bible school and study it was nothing for me from that standpoint because I was already, man, I studied. But when I went to Bible school, I just decided this. I don't matter what I've learned, what I know. God didn't send me here because I was so bright. See, most people think, you know, they go up the ladder, they get so far in education, that's why they think they're smart. That's the dumb guy that gets to the top every time that we have to live with that moron. Because he quits learning. Those people always stop learning. They think they know. That's what we're dealing with down in Washington. Those people down there think, they think they have 20, 30, 40 years in Washington. They know what's going on. They're the worst problem we got. They never wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I don't know nothing. We need to get a different thought, some different idea. They don't wake up like that. See, you got to do that. You need to understand this. If you don't do that as you develop, as you get older, you become unteachable. See, one thing is I decided, I'm not going to end up like most of the people my age who don't listen to nothing. Amen. And you can't teach them a thing. They'll sit and tell you you're telling the truth, but they don't ever do it. They don't ever practice it. They don't ever do it. I decided I'm going to always be teachable. God can correct me. And I'll sit and listen. I'll listen to teaching. And if I'm wrong, I'll throw it out. And I'll take something new. You can do that. I see, that's what Jesus was talking about being a child. Children, you know, did you ever notice how children are? They don't get so attached to things. You know, they have something really cool right now. Do you hand them something else sort of cool? They'll drop down in a minute. They'll take it. You know, in church, you can't do that. You can hand somebody something cool spiritually, and they love their old dead religious thing, and they'll just hold that sucker. Now, yeah, I'll take that, but I'm keeping this. We're keeping this sucker. You know, I'm going to keep this old dead thing that's been holding me in bondage. I want that too, you know, because that's my security. It's good preaching, folks. But you know what? I had to learn about myself. See, you have to learn about yourself and realize it. You got to stay teachable. Amen. You don't know. See, you keep yourself over. You know, I do this all the time with the Lord. I say to the Lord, Lord, there's things I don't understand. You show me. I need to know. There's things I can't see and understand. I realize my limitations. My vision into the kingdom as far as I'll let God show me. I'm not inherently just brilliant. When you come to that place is to realize, see, I found out learning. I never stop learning. I mean, I can sit down and open my Bible and I could literally open my Bible at any spot and start to read and all of a sudden things will just jump to me. Why? Because I've stayed teachable. The Bible is so alive to me and seeing Revelation. People talk, you never understood ministers. I've been around loads of ministers and they'll say, oh, trying to get a message to preach. I said, there ain't enough places in the world for me to go preach all the messages I get. Well, I can see light, man. That Bible is light. It's full of messages. Full of stuff of the light of God. I don't have to try to get a sermon. I got to hear God which one to preach. Which one am I supposed to preach? I got loads of sermons. I got study outlines I've never touched. I mean, loads and loads. If God say, look, just take all the notes that you got and you can teach them. I would never probably study again until the day I would die if I lived to be 90. Of all the stuff that I got that I could teach. It just, you know, but the Bible is so much light. It's so much, and you want to stay there. And you stay there by your reliance on God's wisdom. Hallelujah. He makes you smart. Hallelujah. To me, God, the Holy Ghost in me is like having the computer with everything in it. I don't have to know everything. I just need to get in touch with the know-it-all and I'll know what to do. Amen. You stay in contact with the know-it-all. Hallelujah. He'll make people think you're smart. Amen. But you always make sure you realize, you always make sure that you realize who's smart. Because the day when you think it was you, the light goes off. You want the light to go off. That's why a lot of people don't get light from the Word of God. They can't get light. They take credit for God's brilliance. I'll tell you, it's Jesus Christ who saved me. Hallelujah. He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And the most incredible thing, all the years of my study, I don't even know it all yet. I don't even know all the blessing there is. I'm still finding out things that just blow my mind. That is the wonder of this thing. That's the glory of this thing. Hallelujah. You never can. God knows everything. Hallelujah. We're finite, yet He wants to reveal it all to us. That blew. Why? You know, naturally we wouldn't want to waste our time. You know, today, if anybody thought they were as brilliant as God, they wouldn't waste time with nobody else. Our brilliant God, who literally does know everything, has taken the time to come to humanity to reveal all His glory. You talk about a humble God. He is, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to describe or what I could think of Him. Because we have nothing in this world. I have never met a person like Him to do that. That He would, He can step across to any individual wherever they're at spiritually and can talk to them on their level and be able to minister. He never gets so brilliant He talks over your head. See, I know He can talk to the lowly because He talks to me. See, He has to talk real plain to me. You know, he can't come. He don't use $10 words with it. He comes with stuff that I can understand. You know? And if He says something I don't understand, He'll go get a dictionary and look that word up. He tells me that. All the time He'll tell me to go look up something. Go look it up. Go look up what I mean. All the time He tells me that. I'm always looking up words because God talks to me. And I want to know, am I hearing what He's saying or am I making up my own definitions? I'll tell you, the church has made up a lot of their own definitions. In the English language today, we make up a lot of our own definitions if we ever stop. We think because of the way that we use words is the way that they are. We ought to go look in a dictionary and actually see what they mean sometime. There's words we would never use for certain things. And see, I want to know what God's saying and what He's talking to me. He's the most important one to speak to me. And I want to make sure I know. I want to know. Hallelujah. I'm not that brilliant. You know, some other people, now there are people more from an intellectual, maybe they know what more words mean. But I'll tell you what, I'm Mr. Dictionary. I'll look things up to find out. I want to know for sure what things mean. Hallelujah. So we're looking at this thing. We talked about, you know, the wisdom and the prudence concerning God and His grace last week. But what I want you to look at is this, because we're talking about Abraham and his blessing. I want to read some scriptures to you because we need to go through scripture of so we know when Abraham's blessing coming on the Gentiles, and it says the promise of the Spirit. Now maybe it's just you understand this. I ought to go to a scripture. Is we need to understand God's dealing with Abraham and Abraham's seed. I want you to get this. This is in Galatians, the third chapter. I want to read to you here because when we talk about Abraham and his seed, most of the church world and most of what we taught, we think about the Jewish people, and that's not what it's talking about. We think about Abraham's seed, we talk about Isaac. We need to understand, when God dealt with Abraham back in the beginning, God dealt with him in a about some natural things and dealt with him, but there was a spiritual meaning for it. It's just like you see on the bulletin, I have a picture, it's supposed to be Abraham and the stars of heaven. And see, Abraham, God told him that he was going to have descendants like the stars of heaven and like the sands of the seas. The great interest of God was the stars of the heaven because Jesus Christ was of the stars of heaven. It's the heavenly people, the offspring of Abraham. That's what the seed was talking about. Now listen what Paul writes here to the church of Galatia. Third chapter, starting verse 15, it said, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it." Now he's talking about a covenant. A covenant stands. You know, it's just like a contract. You can't change a contract on your own. If you have a contract with somebody on something and that contract is signed, you can't change that contract without the person, whoever the other person who signed, without their permission. We need to understand this as dealing with God's covenant. God never changes His covenant. See, people make statements that says, God can do whatever He wants. He's God. No, He can't. He made a covenant. He put it in words and gave it to man. He can't change it. If He changes it, then I have a right to change. I can change it too. I have as much right as He does. He can't give me a covenant and He can change it any old time He wants to. This is the, you can have no faith in a covenant that's changeable. How could you have faith? How could you have faith in anything about that covenant taking place if it can just be changed? The blessedness of the Word of God to you and me that's given in this book, it's unchangeable. That I know how things get in this earth and how it might seem bad, whatever's going on. God's Word doesn't change concerning blessing it. Don't change. He has to fulfill His Word. Or He's a liar. Or the covenant's no good. That's why I can stand in faith with God. This is the importance. See, most of the church world really doesn't believe it. You know, we talk about it as a covenant, but most of the church world don't even think of it in that manner. They got God, He's this big head out there. And we're all trying to keep this big head happy. You know, He's got this ego the size of the sun. And He got this, and we're trying to just keep Him happy. Don't get Him mad. Man, He has more, if He wanted to get mad, He has had more opportunity. You and I individually have given Him enormous opportunities to get mad. And He didn't. And especially as a species on the earth, we have surely all together done things that would surely give Him the opportunity to get mad. But you know what? He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? He didn't want to kill us all. He wanted to save us all. Amen. That's what He wanted to do. And that covenant stands. And that covenant stands as long as the church world stands. The church is going to leave one day. The covenant of the church ends. In the book of, in tribulation, in the tribulation, the covenant don't stand anymore. The devil's ruling. The devil's going to dominate the people. Those believers over there are going to be operating under law. I don't want to be there in that one. You're going to be blessed by your works and you're going to be living in hell. Trying to get blessed by your works. I don't want to go there. Don't want to go there. Well, anyhow, it says, now to Abraham, listen to this, and his seed were the promises made. He does not say into seeds. You see that? As of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. The promise is not made to seeds, it is made to seed. Now you need to understand it. See, through faith in Christ, we are one body with Christ. God does not view the church as a mass number of people. The church has joined by faith the seed of Christ. We're Christ. In fact, Paul wrote the Corinthians and called them Christ, said they were Christ. The church is Christ. The head ain't named one name and the body gets another one. Just like with you, your head's not, you know, George and your body Harry. They're both the same name. That's what they're called by. Because the body, the head cannot fulfill, your head cannot fulfill what it wants to do without the body. The body carries out. That's just like Jesus Christ. See, we need to know the church. People say, I've heard ministers say this, well, God really don't need us. And I think, what a knucklehead. Well, if He don't need us, then He ought to do something about what's going on down here then. And quit asking me to do things if He don't need me. See, when you get, people preach that kind of stuff and you get people thinking, God really don't need me. In other words, God don't really care about me. Now, who wants to have faith in that dude? Who wants to say, I really love Jesus. He don't really care about me, but I really love Him. See, as a kid, I'd listen to that knucklehead stuff and I used to think, why do these people say they love Jesus? He's a problem. He's not anybody you'd want to love. You don't love somebody, you know. And, you know, a storm came along and killed a bunch of people. God did it for a reason. And then we're locking people up for killing people. Say, hold it! The one we love kills everybody! This thinking, this sick thinking. And then we're asking the world, join us. You know what they're thinking. Those people are nuts. And he's right. The church is full of nuts. The world can see it don't make any sense. We've made God the problem. You know? I mean, insurance policies put in there acts of God. Everything bad is blamed on God. I remember asking my parents, 11 years old, I asked them why they were upset at the devil. I said, God seems to be doing all the bad stuff. The devil didn't seem bad to me. He wasn't killing all the people. Somebody had died. He said, well, God had him die. They killed him for a purpose. God had a reason. Little kid would die. God had a reason. He needed another star in heaven. I used to think about, what a sick guy. He needs another star. Ain't you got enough of them up there? What is wrong with you? See, I was 11 year old. I could not understand adults why they would want Christianity. And yet all these Christians are running around eating up everything, stupid thing that's said. To me, it was the dumbest religion. It was the most, it didn't make any sense. God was the troublemaker. God was the problem. And they'd say, you need Jesus. Oh, God, I don't want him. I got enough trouble. I don't need Jesus. God. I have death following me enough. I don't need him in my pocket. Dear God, we don't want Jesus. But see, the world looks and the world knows it doesn't add up. The world knows it doesn't make sense. Man's in trouble and we need to offer them a deliverer. And all's we're offering him, he'll forgive your sins and kill you. He'll forgive your sins and take your kid from you. He'll forgive your sins. And that's what we offer people. That's our God. And we say we love him. I mean, that kind of God is worse jerk than I was when I was a sinner. I wasn't doing as much mean stuff as they were saying God was doing. You see, we have to offer a deliverer to the world. The church does it. You know, like Mike said, when the Christian shows up your house and they're more worried than the world is, they can't take what's going on anymore in the world. How do you offer them your God who can't help you? What do we do? See, we got to offer a great God. He is. We have to offer a God that's absolutely wonderful and glorious. A God who he looks at you in your life and says, yes, you're a mess, but I'll tell you, cooperate with me, we'll change it all and bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what we need to offer. We need to be able to look at problems that are insurmountable and say, God will change that. We need to have the guts to say it, but we don't. That's why our prayers don't get anything done. We're afraid to tell people how big he is and what he would do. He is just waiting for a people to rise up and say what he will really do. Now, we know this from a blessing standpoint. I want us to look now. I want to see. See, you and I came to the seed. The whole thing was the seed. It was not Isaac. It was about Jesus. Hallelujah. And you are in the seed through faith in Christ Jesus. Now you're the seed. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You and the seed are one. Now listen, in Genesis, let's go back to Genesis and look at God dealing with Abraham. Because we need to see something. See, the Bible told us we're redeemed from this curse of the law. The blessing of Abraham would come on us. Now, this is what God said. We'll read the familiar scriptures. Genesis, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 to you. Now God, this is God talking to at that time, his name is Abram. It's not Abraham. He hasn't got his covenant name yet. But God's talking to Abram, and he says, in verse 1 of the 12th chapter, God says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I just want to say to you, it's about time you get out of your house, your family's house, and get into God's house. It's about time. You know, most people's families are drag on them and they just keep letting them drag on them. I tell you, you need to step out and get in your house and tell them if they want to visit to you, come to where you're living. Come to the house I'm walking and living in. The house of God. I'm following this, you know, this whole thing. We're running around trying to keep everything peace, trying to keep everything working, keep peace. It don't work. Amen. Get in God's house. God will make things work. Amen. They ain't going to want your house when your house is like their house. Hallelujah. Have a house. I'll tell you, have a house that's full of the glory of God that when they show up, they can't bring their junk with them. It'll change them coming to your house. Amen. See, we need that. Where they come because there's something better. Amen. They come because it ain't all turmoil. It ain't all crazy. It ain't all, see, you don't let it in your house. You want to, see, the devil can have a hard time getting in your house. See, the average Christian, the devil can move in all his furniture and all his cousins. They can move right into the house. They can just come and dump all their junk there, and everybody can just bring their junk there. Say, no, we don't do that. Hallelujah. We're in the house of God. Hallelujah. We're in a different family. Hallelujah. We aren't trying to keep you running the way that you are. We want you running the way we are. Hallelujah. We want you to walk in the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, you got trash? Well, let me tell you why you have trash. You live like trash? There you got trash. Hallelujah. Say, you don't get a changed life? You want me to pray for you? Praying for you ain't going to do you any good. You need a changed life. Amen. Praying don't get any good without a changed life. Hallelujah. You must be born again. If you are born again and quit living like the devil, you wouldn't have so many problems. Hallelujah. And in the middle of trouble, you'd be smiling and having joy because you know God will deliver you.
Amen.
My job ain't to save everybody's family and the whole family. My God job is this, is to follow God. And if God can't save them, he ain't who he said he was. Amen. My job ain't to fix everything with my family. This is why most people, Christians, never follow God. Because they're always busy trying to take care of everything else and other people and stuff instead of God's work and what he's called them to do. They don't ever do it. They're always running around trying to save everybody, fix everybody and everything else. That ain't my job. I learned a long time ago, relatives, my brothers and sisters, they don't pay no attention to me. I know God and they don't want to hear me about God. They don't want their youngest brother having to tell them they're wrong. They're never going to listen to it. They're not going to listen to their younger brother. Well, if we admit that, my, we can't do that. You know, we got to think we're right. You know what? I don't care a bit about it. I just pray God to send laborers along to get saved. My oldest sister, before she died, never knew Jesus, acted, lived like hell, thought she knew every darn thing. And before she died, God sent a Korean lady to her and she got saved. I don't care who he said. I don't care if it's Chinese, Russian, whatever. God will send. If he wants to send me, fine. But it ain't my job to save them.
Amen.
My job is to live from God. That's what the Lord told me when I first got born again. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. Amen. My job is to do what he wants, not what everybody and every preacher telling everybody to do. Oh, it's my, I'm trying to take care. People do more worrying about their families. I'm going to tell you, my kids and grandkids ain't going to hell. They're going to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Dear God, I ain't worried about none of that. Hallelujah. My offspring are going to heaven. Because I won't talk nothing else. I don't talk stupid. Right? Well, God's trying. I got to try to reach them. They ain't paying no attention to me. Get over it. You know, they don't pay no attention to like, I didn't pay no attention. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, didn't he?
Amen.
Glory to God. See, live for God. God will do wonderful things for you. And you're not, my job ain't to fix the problems of my families.
Hallelujah.
It's not my job. If God sends me to fix something, I'll do it. But I'm going to tell you, I don't work for people's problems. I will tell you this. The average Christian lives for the devil because they do nothing but follow problems and try to fix them. And if you're doing that, who's the problem maker? The devil is the problem maker, and he will run your life chasing after, trying to fix your problems. Now, you know what? God could get my wife without Ed. Isn't that amazing? He could work on my wife without Ed. Most people, the average Christian don't believe that. They always have to fix everything. They always got to, I got to do it. I found a long time ago, she don't pay no attention to me either. So what I do? If I just pray and ask God to take care of that. I ask, talk to God. Why? Well, number one, she needs to hear from heaven. She needs to know God too. See, we're too busy trying to be God to everybody and be God to our kids and being God. I ain't God to my, I told my kids when they were real little, I'd talk to them about their, I'd say, you're not going to grow up like other people and become dependent and other people have to take care of you. You're going to grow up knowing God. I'd say, Daddy ain't going to always be here. You need to know God. It's the worst thing parents do, especially today. They raise their kids and their kids never teach their kids to follow God. They always follow God for their kids. And their kids never learn. And when they're gone, their kids live like hell. We taught our kids when they were little, believe God. They'd ask for things and we would sit them down and talk to them about the Word. I'm talking about little kids. Talk about believing God for things. They wanted something, how to believe God for it, and they'd do it and He would show up for them. You don't wait for the church. The church's job ain't to teach your kids faith. You should be teaching them in the home. You should be showing them how to do it. You should teach them. My youngest daughter was 11 years old and she hurt her elbow in school. They thought she broke her elbow. And the Lord told me I wasn't allowed to pray for her. He said, she knows how to believe God and pray. You tell her to pray. 11 years old. Today, the average family, the kid's 35 and still can't believe God. Out of a Christian family, still don't know how to do it. She's 11 years old. God said, she knows how to believe. He said, you just tell her, you know, what to do, and you just agree with her in prayer. And she sat down, she prayed the prayer and prayed. Within 15 minutes, she was instantly healed.
Hallelujah.
Her faith, 11 years old. See, I'd be ashamed to think I couldn't do something. The 11-year-old could do it. But see, we don't teach our children this. We just carry them on our backs all the time. We taught them the time they're little. It's how to believe God. They ain't gonna, you let them go until they get older in their teens and that stuff, in their late teens, that you pass that age, and they ain't gonna, mostly them ain't gonna even pick it up. They won't even pick up the faith thing and how it even works. They won't even know. They won't know a thing about how it works. They'll just keep wanting to get over. So it ain't time to you come stop and see. And I just, you know, when I told my daughter 11 years, I said, the Lord spoke to me and said, I can't pray for you. He told me, you know how to pray and how to believe.
Amen.
And you know what? She did it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That made me really happy. Hallelujah. See, we need to learn and walk in these things and live in these things. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching, folks.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But we need to walk in the light of the truth. God said to him to get out of his house, out of his land. He said, look at this. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. See, what he had to do was do all that God said. Do you notice that? He couldn't say, well, look, God, make me a blessing staying here with Dad and the rest of them and with my brothers and all. I'll stay here and I'll do whatever you want me to do. God said, get out of here. Get out. Go out there. I have a plan for you. And that plan, what was it? It was. See, I'm so glad about Abraham. Abraham followed God. God said to go do it. He thought the blessing of God was better than staying home with Daddy. He actually thought that. See, we don't have that today. The love of God is number one. The love of God's not number one. The love of family and friends and stuff is number one with the average person. That's the number one. Because if something happens, they'll drop God in 2 seconds to go run. You know? How do people do that? I say, God, I never would do it with our family and that stuff. You know, just going to, when I was, before I was ever a minister, just going to church. I'd always go to church Sunday mornings. I'd go to church. If relatives showed up, were doing something, I didn't stay home with them. I went to church on Sunday. They didn't go to church. They didn't go to church with me. God was number one. I'm going to tell you, it's going to show up in your life who you pay homage to, who, you know, and you know what? The devil will send relatives to keep you at home so you miss a message that you need to hear. I'm serious. This is good preaching, folks. See, I learned this from, I decided I wanted to get to things that Kenneth Hagin had reached into that he talked about. So I started practice. I realized, what did he do in his life? How did he do and what did he do? What did God mean to him? What did it mean? And I found out why people get to step into areas where God does. It's how you treat him. See, we don't know about it. We want to reach our relatives, but when the sinner comes along, we stay away from church and we stay away from things to try to think somehow we're being nice to them. You won't be nice to them. Tell them, God's number one on my list. Yeah, God's number one on my list. See, if they're number one on the list, I'm going to tell you, they're going to demand that all the time of you. I watch that. I watch that with how relatives govern people. You let mama get her little fingers in. She'd try to rule. My mama used to do that. She tried to rule, you know. That's why I said, well, my mama, when she was getting older and she didn't want to go in the home, and my sister said, you know, all of you, we need to take her in. I said, hold it. I said, when it comes in the natural people on earth, I said, my wife's first love. My first love here and here. Jesus is number one. Wanda's number two. It's my wife. And I said, mama don't come and live in my house because she won't show no respect to my wife. My mama will want to run everything, and I will not put my wife through that. She will not come to my house.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My house is my castle, and I ain't letting somebody drag the devil in because they need help. You don't at my house because of what. If they don't want to get in line, don't come to my house.
Amen.
I can understand a sinner comes with the devil, but when the Christians come, I cast them out. I had to deal with a preacher one time, and he was these kids. Preacher came, visited Wanda Dunn, and his two sons were just, they were the devil's little helpers. That's all they were. Two little demonic little idiots because they had the devil for their dad, who was a preacher. Never would stray. They're getting in there, they Wanda's just running around trying to keep them out of stuff, and this guy just sat there, he'd go, come on, boys, and he'd just keep walking. Finally, I just stopped, went and got the boys. I said, come here. I said, if you two don't straighten out, I said, I'm going to take your daddy and throw his butt out of the house. Mm-hmm. His daddy looked out, come over here, boys, come over here, boys. Heathen. He was nothing but a heathen. He was not fit to be a minister in the church. Should have never been a minister in the church. Should have never been in the pulpit with an unruly family.
Amen.
The Bible says, you know, qualifications ain't how good you can preach and what you can do. Qualifications, how you live your life in your house. Read the Bible.
Amen.
The family ain't right.
Preach.
Out.
Amen.
We don't even need a vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Chuck 'em. See, it's number one. I read the Bible before I got into the ministry and realized what the real qualifications are. And they don't use that today. They don't use it anymore today. You can be the most hellion there. That's why we have so many ministers and stuff and youth leaders and stuff molesting kids and doing all kind of stuff going on. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I don't care what it is. I want to know how your life is.
Hallelujah.
And if life ain't right, I've had to throw people out, and I've done it.
Amen.
With a smile. Glad to see them go. Some people are just better see going than coming. Hallelujah. See, this is what it, you know, we want the glory of God, and we want these things. We have all this blessing, and this is why we need to understand things and walk in them. You know, because these things that we're talking about here are not going to be real to us. But not walking and living in what the Word says. They got to become real.
Amen.
Are these blessings worth going after? Are they? Now think about it. Here, Genesis. Now we're going to the next chapter, 13. Now I want to read you here. This is Abraham. Now this has got the blessing of Abraham on a Gentile. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're Gentiles accepted Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham, and it says, now look at this. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, verse 1. Abraham went up from Egypt, and he and his wife and all his he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham had a couple bucks left in his pocket, two goats and a heifer, and had two shekels of gold. And man, he was walking and his shoes were worn out, and life was hard. No, it said, look, what does it say about the guy? He went down and says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel and the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. And it says, to the place of the altar which had he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now look at it, it says, Lot also went with Abraham. Abram, he said, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Now look, Abraham's blessing, did it get on Lot? Yeah. It got on, see, the blessing goes to offspring. Oh, if you get the spiritual understanding of these things, you'll quit running around trying to play God. Amen. The blessing and the offspring. But here we have, they have so many possessions. It doesn't say they were so poor they had to go get separate jobs somewhere to go do something. They had so much they had to separate. We're too rich to live in the same place. We got too much stuff. You know, can't put all these tents on top of each other. No, let's make two towns instead of one. Now you got to understand this, Abraham, as you read, if you read and study about Abraham, you have kings of cities. Now those, their kings and that stuff were of cities. They weren't of like huge regions, but of cities. These kings and cities would come and make covenants with Abraham. Abraham's not living in a city. He's a traveling guy moving around and setting up tents, but he is so massive in his size and the number of people he got, it's as big as the cities. Abraham went against five kings and took them. We're talking about a guy, he don't have 12 people with him. He's not running around out here and got $7 to his name trying to make it out here. God's trying to humble him. This guy is major in the land and is hugely respected. Is the big thing about this is constantly, if you read about Abraham, this is what it is. See, I don't care how rich you get in the church today. Most people, the world don't even pay any attention to rich Christians, basically. Because they're not impressed by it. Because they don't see God in it. Abraham, they saw God in it. They consistently would say to Abraham, we know that God's with you. We know it. God's with you. There was something about his life. They knew God was in it. See, he wasn't running around trying to make an empire. One was happening all around him. But he wasn't trying to make it. They're all trying to make an empire. They're all trying to become big. He's not trying to. He's just doing the will of God. Amen. Getting blessed. Do what God tells you to do. Your job ain't to make an empire. Amen. Your job is to do the will of God. Find out what God wants you to do. He'll bless you in it and people will see. We need to come back to where the world can see. The world no longer has respect for the church. And rightfully so. The church is disrespectful. It doesn't respect God. It doesn't put God in the foreground. It's doing just what the world does to get ahead. It doesn't let God bless us where people stop and say, you know what? God's in it with them. Those people got God. See, I want to come that they look at me and say, hey, you know, he's got God with him. He's got God with him. God's working in his behalf. See, that's what you want. Amen. You don't want to say, Ed's a big deal. See, everybody say, you know, it's name droppers in ministry. You know, so-and-so, this ministry, it's name droppers. It ain't Jesus. We don't drop that one. We got all these other names. I want to say, man, Jesus. That Jesus he talked about, that guy's something. Man, look what he does for him. See, he has to help him. He's stupid. He got to be doing something for Ed. Ed ain't bright enough to do that. Hallelujah. Now, so we see the blessing of God in these men. Now look here in Genesis. We have Genesis 23. You jump to 23. And I want to start verse 30. I'll read two verses, 34 and 35. This is Abraham's servant going to get an Isaac's wife. And this is what he says when he goes and runs into Abraham's relative. Verse 34 said, he said, I am Abraham's servant. He said, the Lord has blessed my master and he has become great. Now, we don't find anywhere where Abraham does anything to become great. In fact, Abraham is sort of a bit of, at first is sort of a cowardly little bit guy, you know. He goes down to Egypt and won't even tell him that his wife, that Sarah is his wife. How many women you met at 65 years old you thought was cool that, you know, that somebody would want to take them for a wife? 65, that some young Pharaoh would say, I want that girl. Say, no, I don't think so. I'll tell you what, she needs some more Botox. Good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. Anyhow, you know, 65 years, she's looking so good, he wants her. Can you imagine that? Well, but anyhow, Abraham don't say that. He says, you know, this guy might kill me if I tell you, you know, because he could just take her and, you know, do it. So he don't say nothing. But, you know, God blesses him. Why? Because he obeyed what God told him to do. See, the only commandment he had to God is go to that area. I'll bless you. It was a promise God made. See, understand, Abraham didn't live under the law. He was under a promise. Like our covenant is a covenant of promise. See, most people don't know that. That's why Abraham's covenant, God ties it to us because it's covenant promise based on promise. It's not law. See, ours is based on promise. You're blessed. That's promise. You're blessed. Under the law wasn't that. Under the law, you had to do everything right to get blessed. It says you're blessed. See, there's people who are going to live and die, and they do, and leave this earth and find out when they get to heaven, they were blessed with every spiritual blessing, didn't know a thing about it. But they were blessed with it all. God's promise stood true, whether they accepted or knew about it or not. It was so. See, we need to understand that. The promise is true. It's what God promised. You accepted Jesus Christ, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. That's just the way it is. Holy Ghost came and lived in you. That's the way. I didn't have to get a special invitation or write a certain thing to God or anything like that. The Holy Ghost was sent. All I do is how to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants, the promise. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the promise. It's the Holy Ghost. He's the promise. Hallelujah. Today the church world fights over this stuff about the Holy Ghost and thinks, what a bunch of knuckleheads. The Bible says, calls him the promise. Man, I want the promise, don't you? Hallelujah. Give me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, here he says, so Abraham, he said, I am a servant. He says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great. And he has given him flocks, herds. This, he said, look, he says, he don't say Abraham worked. He said, God gave him all this stuff. God did it. You see what they are? This is really a humbling thing. You know, Abraham had to really give understanding to the people who worked for him. He didn't take credit that he got all that he did by his great smarts and his stuff and how smart he was. His servant talks and says, this is what God did for this guy. They're down there bragging on God. No wonder God blessed the socks off this guy. He wasn't some idiot down there taking credit. He said, look at it. He said, silver and gold, male, female, servants and camels and donkeys. In other words, God made this boy rich. He goes down there bragging on what God did. Look what God did. He goes around telling everybody else. Isn't it funny? Later on, Jacob goes down. And Jacob down there, he goes down to Laban, and they'll know all about what God did. And when he's down there, God gave everything. I mean, God even ended up showing up and speaking to Laban and telling him, don't mess with my boy Jacob. Don't do it. Don't say a thing to him. Jacob left with all his wealth. He tried to cheat Jacob, and God gave everything to Jacob, and Jacob left with his stuff. Even his family he left with it. Dear God. All the guys left with is those stupid sons he had were lazy, didn't do nothing, living off their daddy's wealth. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, God showed up. See, when you give God credit, see, God will bless. See, down there with Laban, he's getting taken across, and he went to God. He said, God, you remember you told me when I was there, I put my head on that rock and I saw that ladder, you said you were going to bless me, go down there. Okay, do your stuff. And boy, God did it. The promise. I've never had anything with God ever tell me that he was going to do some certain thing for me that it has not come to pass. That's why these people run around prophesying and saying this stuff and it don't happen. It ain't God, and they need to learn to shut their mouths. Because all we do is we belittle God and run him down and make people not believe in God. God has never told me He was going to do a certain thing and He didn't do it. I know God has spoken to me personally about things, said, I'm going to do this for you or do that for you. It's always come to pass. And He told me He'd do it for me. It's always come to pass. Well, He didn't start that with Ed. He's been doing it through the whole Bible. I mean, the whole thing's filled with it. Telling people and doing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now listen to this. Genesis 26 in verse 4. Now we're talking about the blessing. We're going to look at this guy's blessing. Has blessing changed? I don't know. Some people may think so. Blessing, just Genesis 26 in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, and I will make you, your descendants, multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, here's that word seed. See that word seed? All the nations of the earth will be blessed. We found out who that was. Seed was in Christ. All His seed. We are the seed of Christ. We're the blessed. You see that? All the nations of the earth are what? Going to be blessed. We're the blessed in the seed. We're the blessed. See, Abraham's blessing, we're the blessed. We're the seed. Not seeds, we're the seed. We're Christ. The church is Christ. It's who we are in the earth. That don't make you God. Hallelujah. But we need to know, we're Christ and we're the fulfillment of whatever He wants to do. We're the ones that carry it out. We're the church. We're the body. Hallelujah. Just on the areas of being blessed. And Proverbs 10:22 says this, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and He adds no sorrow with it. He said the blessing of the Lord will make you poor, take things from you, kill your wife and kids and whatever else. This is the blessing. We're talking about the blessing. Has the word blessing changed in the Bible? Has it changed? Well, it seems to have changed because, you know, people are skeptical about, well, how far does this go and what is this and the blessing. Oh, we're blessing. We got our sins forgiven. That's the only blessing we got. That was it. Psalms 37:22 said, for those blessed by Him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by Him shall be cut off. See, it's talking about the blessing and the curse. See, we went down through, is looking at this. We won't go on farther. Hopefully next week we're going to start to look at the blessing and the curse listed in Deuteronomy, our blessing, and things that we need to learn to do, especially is speaking concerning ourselves. The big thing we have, and I think we've missed in the church world, is this. We have prayed and asked for things, but really, lots of times things didn't work out. It's one of the reasons is because of generally the way we talk. Generally the way what we do. You know, lots of times we're praying about things. It's like when the Lord spoke to me years ago, when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, and I'd pray for President Clinton, and the Lord spoke to me one day real nicely and said, it ain't doing you any good to pray for him. Well, I mean, it hurt my little feelings, you know. I said, it ain't doing you no good. He said, you pray for him, but then you run around bad mouthing. I'm like, oh. Well, you're right on that one. He said, you don't believe I'm doing anything when you pray. Well, now, let's put that in everything. See, we're praying and ask God, and one of the things that what our biggest problem is we're blessed by God, and God has blessed us, and we're going to look at things that God has blessed us with. But we talk differently, but we're asking for something else. It will not work. You can't talk one way and pray another way and have it work. Let me put this over just in the areas of your health. You can't run around and talking about your sickness and telling people, I have this and I have that, and just going and saying those kinds of things and doing that and saying those kind of things. And on the other hand, I'm believing God and I'm praying and asking God, blah, 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 blah. That ain't working. See, you got to learn to talk. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. When I first got saved, I heard Kenneth Hagin say this. I never talk sickness and disease. Now this is what he said. I don't believe in it. Now he didn't believe it. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't believe it existed, but he didn't believe in it for himself. It ain't for me. So see, he would talk about it. See, this is one of the things we get over in the areas. If you believe you receive something, you got to start talking like you got it. You know, I'm over the years. I remember years ago, and after I got saved, there's this guy came along to me, and he was having trouble with his concerning salvation, and said, "I don't know if I'm saved or I'm not saved." And I told him, I'm just a young Christian, but I said, "Well, number one," I said, "you can't have no faith for salvation. You're always talking like you're not saved. I don't know if I'm saved or not." See, you're talking negative about it. See, you can't go around talking about something. You can't talk negative. I have this, but I believe I'm healed. Okay. See, your job is to believe you receive. That's, you believe, if you believe you receive something, you have to act like it's working. You talk any other thing, you just negated anything that you've ever prayed about. You have to talk about it. See, I don't care what kind of pain I'm in. I just thank God. Praise God, I'm healed. Thank God, I believe I've received my healing. Glory to God. I prayed, and Jesus said, if I pray, I believe I receive it, I'd have it. You know, I ain't gonna ever have it till I believe I have it. And if I believe I have it, I'm gonna have to talk like I got something instead of talking like I don't have something. I can't talk like I don't have it and at the same time believe I got it. You can't do that. See, it's like praying for our nation. See, we gotta pray for our nation like it's working. Praise God, God's working in our nation. He's moving on our president. He's doing, we gotta start talking. We're praying, asking God to move and then talking. See, that's why I can't stand to listen to half the ministers. They get on there and then start talking about the government and the problem with the government. It's like, you know, sometimes we there's nothing wrong from the standpoint of we sit down and say, look, there's certain things we don't go along with, we don't, but we need to guard our voices in the criticism and stuff that we do about things. We need to guard ourselves in these areas. Because, see, it's all through the church world and the church, the faith people, so-called faith people. They're not, it don't do any good. You know, people, well, I'm just believing and praying. Well, if you believe something, what are you praying about now? When are you going to believe you receive it concerning yourself? See, we pray for our nation. We need to start acting and making statements. Start talking like God's working, like the Lord told me. He said, don't do you any good pray for Bill Clinton. You don't believe I'm doing anything. You're just criticizing. See, I listen to ministers and stuff. They criticize in Biden and stuff. Well, they wasted 100% of their time in praying for Biden. Because their confession is, it ain't working. We're praying for him and it ain't working. God ain't doing nothing for him. See, I don't watch everything he's doing. He's acting like hell because that's where he's from. Him and his daddy, the devil. Now, we need God's influence. And if I ask God to bring influence, I got to start acting like God's bringing influence. Amen. You ain't got any faith in your praying if you're talking different. There's no faith in it. Amen. You're just wishing God would do something. That's all you're doing. It's just wishing something would happen. We're not wishing something. I'll tell you what, I'm asking God to do. I remember one time here a few years ago, I was praying about some things, and I got over praying in other tongues, and I'd been just praying a pretty long time in other tongues, and all of a sudden I had this vision, and in this vision, I was praying, and I would see this, it looked like in a far distance, I could see there was these angels. And then angels would take off and go out to places, and I'm praying, and I see this, and I'm thinking, what on earth is this? What am I? I don't know what I see. And then all of a sudden, angels would just take off. And there I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God said to me, when you pray and get over here into these things, he said, you're like a military commander sending angels out to carry out my will and my duty. See, you get over there. If you're over here the criticizer and talking about all this stuff, you ain't the guy. You're the guy calling the devil's troops out. Amen. And he showed me that. He said, when you're doing this, see, I'm over in the spirit. The Bible says when I'm praying in tongues, I'm not speaking unto men, unto God. See, the Holy Ghost is speaking God's plan through me. Here I am. He has me doing that. I'd have never thought about doing that. That wasn't my mind. See, that was beyond my mentality outside. See, that's why we don't like to go outside of our mentality. We always want to stay within the scope of what we can think and it makes sense to us. God wants us to get out beyond that. He wants to go out something further. And see, we need to go out there further. We can't be speaking the curse and the blessing. What did James say about the tongue that brings the curse and the blessing? Did he say, it works fine? It just works. He said a spring can't bring forth salt water and fresh water. It's all salty. It don't produce. See, we need to come back over. We need to get more spiritual. I said, Lord, we just need to get more spiritual, don't we? Yeah. We need to get... See, we faith people think we're just so smart. We just got... No, we ain't. We're not near as smart as we thought we were. And I'm going to tell you what, there's people so-called at the top, they are some of the less smart people in the bunches. There's more people on the bottom got more good sense than they do. They need to guard themselves. They need to start speaking things. We need to change things in direction. We desperately need to bring some things to pass. We need to bring some things to pass, and we can do it. I have no doubt. I have no doubt it can be done. I have no doubt. Hallelujah. God's moving and He's working. I tell you, when I pray, the Lord said, if I pray anything according to His will, I know that He hears me. And if I know He hears me, I know how the petition I requested of Him. Well, if I have it, then what am I walking around saying anything else for it? Why am I saying anything else? Shouldn't be saying another thing about it. Shouldn't be talking about it. This is anything goes on, you know. People, I'm praying for so-and-so. Now I'm criticizing about them and talking about how dumb they are and all the stupid things they do. But I'm praying for them. Well, you just wasted your time praying for them. You don't believe God's doing anything for them. Praise God. Why don't you confess they're getting smart? Hallelujah. See, it's just like my children. I never would confess my children. You know, if they don't, boy, they don't straighten out, they'll end up in hell. No, my kids are going to heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'll tell you, my offspring's blessed in the Lord. I'm blessed in my offspring. The Bible says so. The Bible don't say Ed's cursed. We left a little curse in there for Ed. We threw a little curse in. There's certain curses that didn't go away, you know. Redemption wasn't quite good enough. They're blessed. Instead of trying to fix everything, if we'd have used better confession, there'd have been a lot better, more things fixed a long time ago. We don't say the right things. We're not talking the right things. We're not talking the blessing on our lives. We're speaking curse on our life. We're speaking curse over the things we want blessed. Don't do that. See, it's one thing. I've learned this over time. This is one thing that's staying away from. See, parents do this all the time. They want to see too much about, you know, especially as our kids get older, they want to see everything that's going on. Nosy parents. Parents are as nosy as a day is long. Wanting to see what's going on so they can find, and then they'll say, you know, well, we got to pray for, they're doing this and they're doing that. I found this out. I don't want to know. I want to keep my faith out there so everybody, they get blessed. That's what I do. I don't want to know everything that's going on. Hallelujah. Nosy people never have a decent prayer life. Never. Criticizing. Let me say, I'm going to get meddling into some stuff. Criticizing, you know, the daughter-in-law or the son-in-law or whatever. You know, your kid's always so nice and the other one, they're the heathen. They'd be a lot better person if it wouldn't be for them. And every time it's actually, 99% of the time, it's the opposite. The one that's their kid is the big heathen. Their kid is running the show, you know. But we like throwing on everybody else. But this is the whole thing. Getting over to those things to begin with, they don't work. You don't do that stuff. You don't do those kind of things. We don't, you know. I'll tell you what. Speak blessing over them. Amen. Speak blessing over them. Talk blessing. Don't talk curse. Don't talk blessing. You know, it's one thing I always liked about my father. My father never opened his mouth ever one time about any of the, whoever his kids married or anything. Never said a thing about none of it. Never made a statement about it. My dad was always, you know, it was like we had, you know, six boys. My mom always thought us boys were decent and, you know, you never married a decent enough woman. My mama was, you know, she had a mouth that needed to be taped shut. And, you know, she's a Christian lady, but she needed to learn to shut up. She's always, you know, the girls were never good enough, and if they didn't do everything she wanted, we all knew about it. This is good preaching. Let's tell you what. I know how to get into it, you know. I know how to get into it. See, I know, if you feel nervous, good. You learn this so you don't grow up and do these things. You don't do these things. So you don't. But But you know, they make, my dad never did, but my mom would. And you know, it's funny. All the daughter-in-laws got along good with my dad, but not with my mom. It's no wonder. Yet they didn't know lots of times what was going on in the background, but they could tell the spirit. Mm-hmm. There's people that you speak to that they know you don't like them. You don't have to tell them, they never know it. They know it by the spirit on you. You don't like them. You criticize them. You run them down. They know it. And they don't listen to what you say. It's like my dad never said nothing, yet they would all get along with him. See, he had a different spirit than my mom had. So you need to learn that. See, I learned that. Because we do that. And this is in Christianity, it's going on. But see, we think the big things out here, this big stuff, what's really important in life. See, judgment starts in the house of God. The church is as bad as the world is. And we're pointing out there, these ugly, that ugly Biden and those guys doing this, those ugly people doing this stuff down here. We're so wonderful. Oh my goodness, I'll tell you what. Makes you want to hide under a rug somewhere, I'll tell you. No. But we need to understand, we need to make some changes in the house of God. Because why? These things allow the curse to roll. We can't pray for blessing and doing things that cause the curse to dominate. We're redeemed from it. Don't let the devil drag this stuff and ruin our lives with it. Right. Don't let the devil, you know, bring his junk in and ruin our families and stuff because and that's what it'll do. It just ruins things. Hallelujah. If anything the world needs today is to be able to see what a Christian is. I look out around here, I mean, there's 490 different things they call Christian today that ain't Christian. And people running around, they call themselves Christians and doing, you know, it's like Mike say, I mean, comes to your house, they're insane, crazy, they can't, oh my God, they're talking about my husband. See, I might have been seen a little sarcastic when I said, honey, they were talking about him before he ever ran for the office. And they're talking about, now the devil knows that he's made you nuts, he's having fun. Now you just sold into it. My words. I would be shocked if somebody came and said, nobody's talking about you. I might start worrying. Did I die? Am I gone? I must have died, Mike. They quit talking about me. Dear God. What? I must have sinned big that the sinners love me. They won't even talk about me anymore. No, but you said then the saints will talk. No worries, they'll talk. They're not going to restore such a one. They'll take you out and shoot you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. See, we need to under a lot of these things that we need to understand. Years ago, there was moral conduct that was just normally known. Is today it's not. See, I hate this freedom of speech movement that's going on because it's not a true freedom of speech movement. It's about anybody being able to say what they want. You don't have that right as a Christian. You ain't got that right. You have the right of the Bible. That's all you got. Christian, see, number one, I'm not number one American. I'm number one Christian, Christ. The Bible is my code of conduct and living.
Amen.
It's not, hey, the freedoms aren't nation anymore. I mean, I could have my freedom to pull my pants down the crowd. We live in a perverted society. God never meant in America that you'd have freedom of speech to say anything you want to say. God never meant you just criticize. I have the right to just criticize. No, you don't. Not use the term Christian. Just criticize. You don't have that. I don't have that right. And see, we need to understand that that's affecting us. It's demoralizing us. Not just the people. It's demoralizing us. It's destroying our faith. And see, we need to come to that place. As, you know, our forefathers in freedom was about, you know, what they looked at as freedom of concerning what they thought their government and things should or shouldn't be doing. But they never did use freedom just to run people down, you know, to just, to talk about them personally. They might not like the person what they believed in, but they didn't use it just to try to tear people up. And that's what's going on today. It's about somebody does something, well, how can I best tear them up, you know, and make them, you know, look bad. You're not going to get people sit down and talk about things, and that's what they're doing. I mean, down in Washington, I mean, who's going to sit down and negotiate when a guy has been over telling the press who says he's a Christian and overdoing saying things he should not be saying, and then they want to sit down and negotiate over a certain bill they want to bring up? Well, I'm not going to be too happy with the guy who has gone to the media 27 times to run me down personally, had nothing to do with my beliefs, but just run me down personally. And we're going to sit and negotiate? This is the whole thing. I know his negotiation ain't going to be any good. He's not a person of his word. He don't like people. He don't care. He's down in Washington. He don't care about people. You see, we can't have this stuff going on. You can't have that kind of, you can't sit down and make, you know, we want laws to be passed and we want things to go. Well, you can't do them with people who are untrustworthy. You know, would I want to make a contract with Mike if all the time he's just running me down and just turning, say, well, I want to make a contract with this guy on some stuff. Boy, this is going to be a real good one. And this is what we got down here in Washington. And then these people, you say, well, we need the freedom to be able, you know. We need the freedom. I need the freedom to be on Facebook. Why? So I can help Facebook spend $419 million to work against the things I believe? I don't believe, I tell you what, I can't be convinced God wants Christians on Facebook to help them tear apart in our nation what we dearly love, our Christianity in Christ. I personally can't figure it out. Because when I'm on it, I'm helping them raise money. Because people, the more people that use it, the more advertisers pay, the more bucks goes in their pocket. And they spent $419 million for campaigning on their sides for a guy now we wish wouldn't be in office for sure. And the Christians helped get them there. The ones complaining about being on... What are we fighting to be on Facebook for? Why do I have to be on Facebook to get my message out? Because God ain't big enough without Facebook. This weeny little God we serve. I can't reach my friends and be with my friends if we don't have Facebook or we don't have Twitter, because God ain't near big enough, this little weeny God we serve. And they're trying to take our rights to preach this weeny God we believe in. They don't need to hear about our weeny God. This is good preaching, folks. We need to understand, we're supporting this stuff. This stuff doesn't exist without them getting money. And if I'm a participant, they're getting money. All my friends are on there. Oh my Lord. My friend. Doing right, following my friends. Of course I'm going to follow my friends. Who wants to do right? I'm just going to tell people I'm a Christian. They'll think I'm nice. Presbyterians sure get quiet when you... You know, I'll just tell you honest. I'm not upset about Facebook or anything. I'm upset at the people who keep complaining about Facebook. I am fed up with them. I'm fed up with, well, they're out here doing this or they're out here doing that. Who cares? Trump's fighting to get on Facebook. Why does he want to, I thought he didn't like them. Now he wants to help them get money. See, he gets on there. They'll make millions, hundreds of millions more of people will go on just to see her, him. They'll pay them fortunes to get on there to listen to what he has to say. And they'll spend next time $1 billion campaigning against him. Because he'll put it in their hands. God is so small, he can't think of another way to do things. We can only do it the way the world does. That's it. That's it. Poor little old Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord God, you're big. You are B-I-G, capital B-I-G big. Lord God, there is none like you. As the scripture tells you, it tells us, and it was said, that there's nobody in the heavens like you, and there's nobody here in the earth like you, and there's nobody under the earth like you. What could compare to you, God? What could compare to you? Lucifer and his kingdom is a little thing compared to you. It's a nothing in his eyes. Lord, we thank you. He boasts big, but you are big. Hallelujah. And you're the God, our Redeemer, our Savior. The one who delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Father, we just thank you today. You're our Heavenly Father. And there is none like you. And Lord God, we just magnify you today and your greatness and your wonder and your glory. Lord God, your redemption is so big toward us. Lord God, I want to thank you for Lord God speaking to us today. Lord God, of correcting us and directing us. Lord God, setting us into a place, Lord God, that we can walk and fulfill your words and your plans. Lord God, your greatness, you desire. Lord God, you desire it more than we do to show forth your glory in the earth. You desire it so much. And so, Father God, Lord God, we don't want to be ones to hamper what you're doing in any manner or any way. And Lord God, Lord, I believe that we as here today, we honestly want to do what's right. Lord God, it isn't that, Lord, we stand before you knowing full well, Lord God, that we definitely don't do everything perfect because we don't know everything perfectly. Lord God, we're limited. But Lord God, you have given us wonderful light and insight into areas. And Lord God, our great desire is to walk into the light that we have. Because, Lord God, you're always the blesser of the people who walk in the light that they have. You will always do wonderful and mighty things. And we just set ourselves, Lord God, to walk in your glorious light that we have. And let the glory of Jesus Christ shine through us. Hallelujah. Lord God, because your light is greater than our life and what we are. Your light will go beyond because your word says that you do exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think according to the power that works in us. And I thank you, Lord God, the place that we can stand and grab a hold of by faith, you will go a step further and a step further and a step further. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're walking alone with you. Hallelujah. Lord God, our great desire is to be workers together with you. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we've come to the place in our walk where we're getting off the lap. We're not going to sit on the lap anymore. Hallelujah. We're going to walk together with our God. Hallelujah. We're going to work together with you, Lord God, to fulfill your plan. You're the God of great wisdom. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that your mind, your thoughts, your ideas are overtaking us. I want to thank you today that the light is opened in minds to see and understand. Father God, to grasp a hold and take a hold. Lord God, of the blessing that has been laid down. The blessing has came through promise. Lord God, you cannot withhold what you have promised. You could not be a God who could ever lie. The word says you're not a God that you can lie. You're not like a man. You can't lie. It's an impossibility. And I thank you, Lord God, that your blessing is going forth. And Lord God, just as Abraham, you didn't call him to bless his family. Lord God, he became a blessing to the nations. His blessing is still rolling today and going today. And Lord God, through us, the Church of Jesus Christ, the blessing goes on and on to the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Not just us, not in this little corner of America or this place here, but Lord God, we, the Church of Jesus Christ, are the blessing to the nations of the earth through faith in Christ Jesus. And we thank you you, Father. Nations, nations will come to the light. Nations will come to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham continues, Lord God. I want to thank you in this nation. Devil, I speak to you and command you to get your hands off the presidential office of the United States of America. I command you to cease and desist in your operations in Jesus' name. I command you to stop in your darkness and light come forth in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. We send forth ministering spirits. We send forth the angels of God to go and bring their influence to the presidential office and into the White House, into the cabinet, Lord God. We bind the darkness that has held them and bound them in the name of Jesus, and we command light has come. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you said we're supposed to pray that you would send, that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to send across their paths ones who will preach the gospel, ones who will bring, Lord God, truth to them, that light will come into the White House of the United States, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. You will do. You have heard us, and you will do what we ask according to your word. You will carry it out. Hallelujah. I thank you. Light is shining out of darkness into our nation's capital. I thank you up on Capitol Hill. I bind the devils that operate over our House and Senate in the name of Jesus, over the Republicans and Democratic parties. I bind those devils that operate in the name of Jesus. And I speak life into that place in Jesus' name. We bind you, devil, and command you to cease and your desist in your operations against our leaders in Jesus' name. And angels, go forth. Bring forth your great influence, Lord God. An influence of light and love in the name of Jesus Christ into the houses of Congress in the name of Jesus. Light shining out of darkness. Lord God, I thank you for supernatural visitations. Supernatural visitations. Angels appearing. Demonstrations of the Spirit that will go forth. Dreams will come to them at nighttime, Lord God. You will visit them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To open up minds and hearts to the glory of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for it. Father, I take authority in order concerning the Supreme Court in the name of Jesus. Devil, you get your hands off of our court system in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to cease and desist in Jesus' name. We command light to come. Light to shine forth. Ministering spirits going forth by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Bringing great angelic influence. God's light and life working. Hallelujah. In light in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that again justice would come back to our land once more in the name of Jesus. Righteousness will prevail again in the name of Jesus Christ, that life will come forth. In the name of Jesus Christ, devil, get your hands off of our financial system. I command you to cease and desist in your operation against the finances of America. You will not dominate. You will not rule. We uphold our financial system. It will not collapse in the name of Jesus. It will stand in the name of Jesus. Angels, go forth in the name of Jesus. Bring the light and wisdom of God in the name of Jesus and influence over people in our finances in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Father, in our social system, among the people in our nation, we take authority over the demons, Lord God, that are bringing division in our land in the name of Jesus. We stand against you, demonic forces. We command you to stop in the name of Jesus, bringing this racial division and this divide in our land in the name of Jesus. We command you to stop and desist in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Father, we call the angels forth. Hallelujah. Lord God, to bring their great influence across our land in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to raise up ministers in churches again that begin to preach right, begin to talk right, and bring back righteousness and holiness to the Lord again. Oh, Lord God, that it will go forth in these days and in these times across our nation in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. It's a working. It's a working, Lord God. Lord, we're not just blowing wind. It's a working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a working. It's a working. Lord God, I can see it. There's an explosion of power. There's an explosion of glory. Hallelujah. And that explosion, I can see it, Lord God. It's at hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Coming forth because we're calling it forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Father. Father, the great desire is for harvest. It's a great desire for harvest. Hallelujah. There must be a harvest. There must be a great harvest. Too many going off in eternity, lost forever, damned forever. Lord God, we call forth light in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Men and women calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, especially, I pray for the young people of this nation in the name of Jesus. Devil, we bind you. You will not hold them captive in Jesus' name. You will not hold them in the name of Jesus. We command you to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. We thank you for light coming upon them. Their ears will turn toward righteousness and truth. They will hear the word and they will respond in the name of Jesus Christ. They will come through by hordes in the name of Jesus. Multitudes and multitudes, hallelujah, of young people calling on the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, worldwide. Worldwide, Lord God, it shall be. Worldwide, the nations, hallelujah, respond. Young people all over the world will hear and come forth in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and will cause a great earthquake of the power of God, for they're coming forth, hallelujah. They will pick up and have one love, and His name will be Jesus. They will have one love, well, they will come and walk forth in this day and time and carry the flag of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the nations of the earth. Father, we thank you for it, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. You're working mightily, you're working mightily, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Father, I'm so glad because you said if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you said you hear us. Hallelujah. And you said you know that if we hear you, we have the petitions we request to you. I want to thank you. Devil's knees are bowing. Hallelujah. Angels are going forth in the name of Jesus. Light is shining in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we refuse to look at what we see and hear of men in the natural. Lord God, we know in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We know in the Spirit we've made great change. Great change. Great change in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it shall come forth as the Word of God has said, and it shall be, and light will go forth. Hallelujah. And again, across our nation, we shall see the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful, Father God. I'm thankful, Lord God, that we don't have to fear in this day and this time. We don't have to be afraid. Lord God, I want to thank you. We have the greatest news channel in the world. Hallelujah. And it's all written out in plain English for us, Lord God. It's the Bible, the Word of God. Right in it is written the glory of God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you. I can go over the Spirit and pray, and I can see things. I can look at God's TV station. Hallelujah. I can look in the Spirit and see, Lord God, your glory come and forth. I can see, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us vision of hope and courage, Lord God. Hallelujah. Giving us vision of the future, Lord God, that we can again have a laugh on our voice instead of a whine. Hallelujah. That we again can cheer, Lord God. That we can celebrate once more as a people. Hallelujah. Of the glory of God. Hallelujah. You're not a God. You've not let us go. Lord God, as even as Mike said 70 years ago, you said this was the last call. Hallelujah. But I haven't heard you say it's over. Hallelujah. I haven't heard you say it's over. I haven't heard you say it was over, Lord. Hallelujah. You haven't told me it was over. So Lord God, and you didn't tell me it was over. What would you expect out of me? Expected that something would happen. Hallelujah. So Lord God, this last call is going to end in a great call. Hallelujah. In a great call. Hallelujah. Oh Lord God. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, you told me I was a flagman, and I want to thank you this, because Lord God, I believe people will listen to the flagman. I think people are paying attention today. It's the day of the flagman, Lord God. I think you're raising up flagmen and flagwomen all over the place that are going to raise a flag to slow people down, because these are the days of hearing and seeing, Lord God. They will hear the voice of the Lord and they will see Him. They'll see His will and His plan. Hallelujah. And people are looking. They're looking. They want hope. They want something to grab a hold of. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. We have a wonderful hope to show them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. A great redemption full of glory for them and their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, rest in peace. peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. So Lord God, as we leave this place today, hallelujah. Lord God, we leave strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're not leaving this place in our great wisdom and our great understanding. Lord, the wisdom that we have, we got from you. Thank you for giving us your wisdom. Thank you for giving us your understanding. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us sight, your sight, that we can see, hallelujah, with the eyes of faith, Lord God, that we can look ahead and see, Lord God, with great confidence and courage about the future, hallelujah. Lord God, we're not cast down. Lord God, we're upheld by the hand of God, and we stand strong today in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we will walk out this week. Lord God, our Master said, in the world there's tribulation, there's trouble, but He said He overcame it. Hallelujah. No matter what comes against us, no matter what comes, we will overcome in the name of Jesus. We will stand. Hallelujah. Jesus, you said if you fall, you were able to make a stand. Hallelujah. I want to thank you. Hallelujah. You're right there to pick us up and uphold us, Lord God. Glory to God. Father, we will end in a note of victory. We leave this earth. Hallelujah. The trumpet will sound and there will be a shout from this earth. Hallelujah. The shout of God's people. Hallelujah. Because all the walls of the ages will fall. Hallelujah. Death will be destroyed. Hallelujah. And glory to God, we will stand in the new body. Hallelujah. That's been prepared for us, the fulfillment of our great salvation. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.